The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning Simin Kuf Chaf Vav of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of doing things to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal made a number of enactments in order to ensure that we don't forget the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and of Yerushalayim. In addition, over the generations, there have been plenty of minhagim that developed so that we should always recall what we lost by the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Halacha Aleph starts off, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Tiknu Chachameinu, our sages established, Zichronu Levracha, of blessed memory, Shekol Simcha Yeheba Zeicha L'Churban, that every situation of happiness should have some remembrance of the destruction. Kemo Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Im Eshkecheich Yerushalayim, if I forget you, Yerushalayim, Imlo Ales, Yerushalayim, Arosh, Simchasi, if I do not raise up Yerushalayim, the remembrance of Yerushalayim, over my joy. V'gazril, and they decreed, Shelo Yivne lo Yisrael binyan misuyad u'mitsuya, kibinyan hamalachim, that a Jew should not build an edifice which is plastered and designed like that of a royal edifice, v'lo yosid es kol beiso besid, and he should not plaster his entire house with plaster, elotoch beiso betit, but rather he could apply cement to his home, v'sod besid, and then when he is plastering with plaster, umaniach bo ama al ama kineged ha-pesach b'lo sid, he should leave over an area of a square ama opposite the door. We'll discuss momentarily how big that is. Below Sid, without any plaster there. And the reason he's doing this is kidei liskar ha-churban. It's in order that he should remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Umashe lo nogu kein ata, and this that we don't find people doing this now in our communities, lo yudanu tam barur, we don't have a good explanation for this. So, in short, a person is supposed to leave a square ama ama without plaster, certainly without paint, and the Prima Gardim says that it's supposed to be a perfect square. Now, how big is the area of an ama? So, there's a dispute among the halachic authorities. According to Rav Chaim Noah, we are talking about 18 inches. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's 21 and a quarter inches up to 22 inches. And according to the Chazon Ish, it would be 22.7 inches. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's not ma'akev. It will not be a problem, b'di'eved, if the ama is not a perfect square. But still, l'chachila, a person should try to make it a perfect square. The Kaf HaChaim brings down that a person who puts an ama ama in his house, he can have a guarantee that his house will remain standing and nothing bad will happen to it. Now, the poskim are very troubled by the fact that today most people do not make the ama ama. That's at least true in Chutz Laretz. Fortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, the ama ama is very much practiced, but in Chutz Laretz, it's very unusual to find homes that have an ama ama opposite the door as a zeicha for the Churban. So all the poskim are troubled at trying to figure out what's the explanation behind it. In the Mishnah Berurah, one of the suggestions that are given is that it could be that our plaster is made differently than it used to be because there's sand that's mixed in with it, in which case the gezeira, the takana, that is, never applied to the type of plaster that we use today. But as we can see, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is baffled by the fact that people do not make the ama ama today in Chutz Laretz, and it seems like it certainly is the right thing to do. Now, he told us that the ama ama is supposed to be placed opposite the door. The poskim explained this way: whenever a person walks into the house, is the first thing that they'll notice. If that's the case, we should be certain not to block the ama. You can't cover it with a curtain or with a picture. The point of it is that you should be able to see it. Now, some posts can bring down that there's a minhag to make it not opposite the door, but above the door. But that's not the mainstream view. So that if a person has a wall opposite the door, which it's possible to make the ama there, so then he should do so. Otherwise, he could make it on a wall which is as close as possible to the wall which is opposite the entrance. The Shari Tshuva brings down the opinion of the poskim that say that the ama is supposed to be put in every room of a person's house. This is certainly not the mainstream opinion. This is not the minhag that's done. And in Eretz Yisrael, where people do practice the ama, they put it opposite the main entrance to the home. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down that the ama only applies if you're plastering or painting. That's when you have to leave the area as a zecher l'churban. But if someone is merely putting up wallpaper, then they would not be required to do so. Now the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the requirement for the ama is only a mitzvah if a Jew owns a house. Obviously a goy does not have to put an ama on his house. So therefore, if a Jew purchases a home from a non-Jew, he would not be required to put up the ama, since the goy was not required to do it. Unless he is renovating the home and he's redoing the walls, in which case, Bilvush says that he does have to put up the ama. It's possible that this was the heter for many people in Chutz La'aretz, that they purchased their homes from non-Jews, and therefore there was no need for them to make the ama. However, on the other hand, the poskim say that if someone purchased their home from a Jew who did not make the ama, so now the new purchaser would be required to do so if he knows that the Jew is the one who built the home. The Magen Avraham brings down that the minhag is that we do not make an ama on a yeshul or on a beis medrash, and in the Piskei Tshuvas he brings down that the poskim are lenient, that a chasna hall, a wedding hall, also does not require an ama, even though there's strong grounds to say that it should have one, but in practice many people are lenient.
Halacha beis, v'chein tiknu, and similarly, they enacted, sheha'orech shulchan, that someone who sets the table, la'asos suda la'orchim, to make a meal for guests, afilu sudas mitzvah, even if it is the festive meal that's associated with the mitzvah, lo yiten ko hatafshilin haru'uyin l'suda, he should not put out all of the cooked dishes that relate to that meal, meaning he should leave out just one dish which is common in that society. And this would serve as a remembrance of the destruction. Now the Mishnah Berurah says this does not apply to Shabbos or Yom Tov. And altogether, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he brings down that in practice, people are very lenient about this entire halacha. The Shulchan Aruch also says that some people have the practice that they leave an empty plate on the table to demonstrate that there was supposed to be more food, but was left out as a zecher to the churban. The Kitzur then proceeds and says, V'chein ha'isha lo tiskashet b'chol takshiteha b'pamachas. A woman should also not adorn herself with all of her adornments at one time, meaning she should leave out some of her jewelry as a remembrance of the churban. Of course, if a woman would anyhow not put on all of her jewelry at once, it's hard to really apply this practice. And then he proceeds and says, V'hachasan kodem chupaso, and the groom before his wedding, nosnim efer arosho, they put ashes on his head, b'makom hanochas tefillin, in the place that the tefillin rests. For some reason, people often put the ashes on the forehead of the chassan, but that's not the halacha. Really, it's supposed to be placed not on the forehead, but above the hairline, in a place where the chassan wears his tefillin. Now, he doesn't say that the ashes have to stay there for the chuppah, but he does say that they're supposed to be put on before the chuppah. In the Sefer Tamim and Hagim, he brings down
that there's a minig to put it on the head of the kala as well. Then the kitzur continues and tells us, v'hamichse shemechasim bo es hakala, the head covering that with which the bride is covered, lo yibo chute kesef ozov, there should not be on it threads of silver or gold. This too is a zeicha for the korban. And then he says, gam nogim shebishas ksivas hatanoyin, the custom is that for Ashkenazim, when they write the tanoyim, the contract stipulating that the two parties are planning to marry each other, acha kriyoson, after they read the tanoyim, shovrim kidera, they break a plate, lasos zeicha lechorban, in order to serve as a remembrance of the destruction. Avo yesh likach kidera shavura, but they should take a plate that is already broken or chipped. The Primogadim explains that the reason why they would use a chipped or broken plate is so that there should not be a violation of Baal Tashchis, of wasting valuable resources. Now the minhag is that the plate is supposed to be made out of cheres, out of earthenware, and that the parents of the chosin and kala should be the ones to break it. Today the practice is that specifically the mothers, the chosin's kala, the chosin's mother together with the kala's mother, but all this is being done as a remembrance of the churban. Then the kitzur proceeds and tells us, v'tachas hachupa shover hachosan klizchuches, underneath the chupa, the chosin breaks a glass, v'zeh yacholios kol sholem, and this, it could be a complete glass. In fact, the minhag is dafka that it should be a whole unbroken glass. It's a good idea to have the glass wrapped in something so that the chosin, chas v'sholem, doesn't hurt his foot. In Yerushalayim, the minhag is that they break the glass after the Birkos Erusin. But in most of the world, the practice is that they break the glass after the completion of the Sheva Brachos underneath the chuppah. In many circles, it's common people call out Mazel Tov afterwards. The truth is, it seems to be missing the point. If the point of breaking the glass is so that we should reflect on the destruction of Yerushalayim, it seems a little bit out of place to immediately shout Mazel Tov and have the band to start up the music. But whatever the case is, these are more practices that are done as a zecher for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Although people today do practice the minhag of breaking the plate at the tnayim and breaking the cup underneath the chuppah, for some reason the other customs that are mentioned in this sif, which are done as a zecher for the korban, people seem to neglect. The poskim wonder about this also, and they offer some reasons why we don't find these things practiced. In the Bi'ur Halacha, he quotes the Chai Adam, who is left bewildered why we don't find these things practiced at all. However, in the Kaf HaChayim, he suggests a reason that we don't find people leaving over at a meal foods which are not being served. What he explains is that in previous eras, there was a very much a seder, there was a sequence, a pattern of what was accepted to serve at a meal. And therefore, if one item would be left out, it would be very evident that it must be as a zecher for the churban. Masha'en kein, today, when there is no clear pattern, so it would not be obvious, it would not be evident that someone is leaving something out, so that's why today it is not practiced. However, he concludes that it would be proper to, at the very least, leave a certain place on the table which is empty, so that it should be evident that this is a zecher for the churban. Regarding the minhag that a woman should not wear all of her jewelry, well, today most women don't wear all their jewelry at once anyhow, so again, it would not be evident. However, in the Sefer Eretz Yisrael of Rabbi Chiyo Michal Tikhochinsky, he brings down that the Gaonim of Yerushalayim wanted very much to reinstate this practice that women should not wear all of their jewelry at once, at least those who are living in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there's a special sensitivity to the Churban, and we should be extra careful to carry out practices which help us remember the destruction. There is another minhag, which is not mentioned in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is somewhat practiced, and that is, as a zecha for the Churban, the poskim say that before benching during a weekday, a person should say Al Naros Bavel, at least on the days that Tachnun is said. Now, of course, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't say Tachnun, and therefore the custom is to say Shir HaMalos. The same thing would be true on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim. But on days that Tachnun is said, the custom was that we should say Al Naros Bavel, and this is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Aleph. In practice, many people do not observe this, at least throughout the year, and during the 9 days, many people do reinstate this minhag. Halacha Gimel deals with a prohibition that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and that is the restrictions of listening to music throughout the year. He says, V'chein gozru shelo lishmoa shum klei shir va'afilo shir bepeh. They also decreed that in order that we remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, is that throughout the entire year it is forbidden to listen to music and even singing. Ve'ein l'shora b'su'uda ela hazmiros, and one would not be allowed to sing during a meal except for the standard zmiros she'nitku'u kimo b'Shabbos, that were established like those that we sing in Shabbos. Avo piyutim acherim, but other songs, also l'shorer, it would be forbidden to sing. Now this requires a little bit of background. The Mishnah says in Sota that it is forbidden to have songs at meals which serve wine. According to most poskim, the reason why music was banned was as a zecha l'churban. There are a lot of different opinions about where and when to apply this prohibition. Some poskim say it is talking about a place where wine is served without food. So, for example, to go to a bar or a tavern, in a place like that, it certainly would be usur to listen to music. On the other hand, if food is being served as well, then it would be permissible, because that does not bring us the same degree of joy as just drinking wine would. This is what's brought down in the Shaar HaTzion. But it is clear that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does not hold this way. According to the Kitzur, music would be usur even if there's no wine being served at all. But the Ramah brings down the Shita of Tosfos, that the only time that the prohibition is in effect is in a situation where they play music, or even if they sing, on a regular basis. But if it's a one-time occurrence, it would be permissible. The position of Rav Moshe Feinstein is that people should be strict to not listen to music, even when there's no wine being served. As far as singing is concerned, meaning singing without musical accompaniment, it is usur if it is being done with wine, and it is also usur if it is something kavua, if it's being done on a regular basis. But many poskim are much more lenient, and they say that there's never an isser to listen to music unless it's being done on a regular basis and perhaps with wine. A number of the poskim discuss listening to music for the sake of someone's parnasa. For example, someone is a musician, and they say that is permissible. They are only strict in the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, and there's much more grounds to be machmer. There are some poskim that say that the isser that Chazal enacted was only on live music, but recorded music was never included in the original Takana. In addition, A number of the poskim say that it would be permissible to listen to music in order to lift one's spirits if someone's feeling down or depressed. But according to all opinions, there is certainly no problem listening to music at a sudas mitzvah, such as at a wedding. In fact, at a wedding, it's a big mitzvah to have music. And this is true even if wine is served. The only limitation in this was that in Yerushalayim, there is a century-old ban that was made on playing music at weddings. According to the Cherim, they enacted that only a single instrument would be permissible at a wedding. This is for a wedding that's done in Yerushalayim. But everywhere else in the world, they do have bands at weddings, and music is considered a critical part of a chasna. Halacha Dalad focuses on additional restrictions that relate to mourning the Churban, and it brings us into general attitudes to how we are supposed to look at some of the entertainment that is available. He says, Shamer lecha milaros kanigos shel goyim. One should watch himself that he should not observe the circuses of non-Jews, v'chein mecholosam, and their dances, o shum dava shel simchasam, or anything of their amusement. V'im tishma kolam smechem, and if you hear their voices, that they are jubilant, te'anech v'titzdar, you should groan and be pained, al korban Yerushalayim, over destruction of Jerusalem, v'tispalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleha, and it's an opportunity to daven to Hashem about Yerushalayim. Va'afilo lekanigor shel Yisrael, and even the Jewish circus, Aser Leleches, is forbidden to go there, Mishum Dehavi Moshe of Leitzim, because it is a place where people are wasting their time. V'kol mine simcha asurim, and all types of joy are forbidden, Elo l'sameach chasen v'kala, other than to bring joy to the chasen and kala, that is mutter, bein b'shir, b'peh, bein b'kelim, whether it's through singing or through musical accompaniment, v'gam sham ein l'smoch b'yoser. But even there, at a wedding, one should be careful not to rejoice too much. In the Ramah, by this halacha, he says that for any tzorach mitzvah, it would be permissible to be misameach. So now the Kitzur concludes, v'aser la'odam shi'amala schok piv ba'olam hazeh. It is forbidden for a person to fill his mouth with levity, frivolity, in this world, afilo b'simcha shel mitzvah, even if it is a simcha of a mitzvah, which means he should not have excessive joy, shenema oz yimale schok pino, that then, meaning in the future, when Mashiach comes and we experience the true redemption, then we would fill our mouths with joyful excitement. But until then, we are supposed to tone it down.